Well, I am so grateful that he will hold me fast. If it was depending on my grip on Jesus, I would be in huge trouble, and so would you. But instead, we are gripped by grace, and I think that verse that just gives me such joy is saying, no one shall pluck you out of my hand, and my Father, which is greater than all, no one shall pluck him out of his hand. So it's God the Father wraps his hand around Jesus' hand, and that's a grip that cannot be lost. And so I'm so thankful for that. So we're going to be looking at a few passages this morning as we begin. And we're talking about this road trip called prayer. And hopefully I've created a mental image that when you go to pray, you're like, okay, Lord, I'm ready to get in the vehicle and go where you're going. And I'm excited about the route you're going to take. It's not always easy, but boy, I'm sure excited about what you're going to be doing in my life and shaping me to be more like Jesus through the process. And as we come to a close, I want to talk about when it's really hard to pray. And there are times that you want to pray, but it seems like no words will come out. You're so confused, you're maybe so hurt, you're just so discouraged, you can't even seem to form a words in your heart or in your mouth to say to your Heavenly Father. And when it's difficult to pray, just like the Jesus that holds you fast, it's the Jesus that rescues you and your prayer life. There are times even I think you go through periods of when you seem like you're in the desert, and you think, Lord, where are you? And you pray, but it seems like the heavens have become brass, as it says in the Old Testament, and that you're just not sure if God's hearing. Well, I want to encourage you, and I want to give you hope in Jesus for your prayer life this morning. And the passage we're going to begin with is the familiar one, Matthew chapter 6. It says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And this is right before he then gives us the Lord's Prayer. And so let's ask if the Holy Spirit would train our hearts this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in prayer because we do believe it generates hope and joy. Just like knowing that we're forgiven in Christ brings us hope and joy, that joy is deepened even further when we know that you delight in your children. And when we come and we ask that you delight to give them good gifts out of your own generous heart. And that's why we are even talking about prayer. Because, Lord, you invited us to come and experience your generous, gracious heart. And, Lord, that you'll not only give us the things that we need, but, God, you will cause us to overflow with blessings, of spiritual blessings that are beyond our comprehension. And God, we look for more, we expect more, because we are needy people who need it to come from your hand. So God, we come in humility, but we also come with expectation. God, please show us more through prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at some very practical principles for your prayer life. They are just really simple but very powerful things. And we talked about planning your prayer time, preparing your heart and your hands for prayer time by getting good resources. Let me just ask, not to put anyone on the spot, but was there anyone who this week started index card prayer system, OneNote, Prayer Mate perhaps? Would you just raise your hand and say, this week I started something I hadn't done before, or just renewed it? Okay, we got a couple. Well, I'm so thankful for that. Let me encourage you. I've heard some good things from people who are trying out PrayerMate. Again, I don't get any endorsements for this. It's really just a tool that's meant to help you. And they do some neat things that will just give you reminders to pray and then make it kind of exciting and kind of refresh and renew your prayer life. And again, We don't like to fly by the seat of our pants on things that are important. And so prayer should be that way. We should plan it out and prepare for it. By the way, that doesn't do anything to hurt the spontaneity of it. Some people are like, well, if I have cards or if I use an app, then it just becomes formulaic. Well, anything could become formulaic. Prayer, Bible reading, going to church. There's always a danger of that. But we don't stop doing good things. I don't say, well, I'm going to stop brushing my teeth because I don't do it just for my teeth anymore. I just do it because I don't want to have bad breath. You'd say, well, yeah, but it still does help your teeth. And yes, we do appreciate if you brush your teeth, Pastor. That makes those conversations with you so much easier. The fact is it's still a good thing. What you need to do is then get not just the habit built, but then get the joy of spending time in God's presence through prayer. The key is not to get rid of something, or I'm not going to get rid of planning. I'm going to get rid of planning because I've become too formulaic. Instead, seek a heart of worship and getting to know God and add that to it. Don't discard something that's beneficial like planning. So preparing, planning, and then protecting it, okay? And we want to stay balanced. We talked a little bit about it's relationship building, it's worship, so be very cautious about letting it become just formulaic, just something to check off a box of things to do in the morning. Let's make it something that we see as being vital to really knowing God, and therefore it is vital to us really living life in joy of Him. We talked about also the balance of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, acts. That leads a good balance of praise and worship in your prayer life. And then you should also balance physical and spiritual needs. Sometimes we can kind of get a list of people that have physical needs, and that will kind of dominate our time. But if you look at the prayers of Paul, what you'll realize is this. He mostly prays for the spiritual well-being of the people he's ministering to. He's really cared about how they're doing spiritually speaking, that they're growing. He does mention some physical needs too, but he puts the lion's share of that into their prayer for growth spiritually. So make sure and maintain that balance as well. Well, to this morning, I'd like to talk about check engine lights. Those are very, very important when they come on. Recently, I was driving my wife was driving our RAV, and the light came on, the engine light came on. And so I hooked up my little scan tool and kind of tried to figure out what's going on. And so I started going through some things that it might be. And guess what it was? The lowly gas cap. Some of the vehicles, if you don't tighten that gas cap, it thinks that there's an evap system leak, and so it's throwing off the code saying, oh, there's problems, and it wouldn't even turn, the cruise control stopped working because it was saying, this is a serious issue. And after getting a new gas cap and tightening it properly, it was not a problem anymore. But that check engine light was telling me that something's not quite right, you need to do something. And there's times in our spiritual life, especially in our prayer life, when we begin to see something's not quite right. I just don't feel like I have that same closeness to God. I don't feel His presence when I'm in prayer. And that engine light comes on and saying, Lord, I think there's something that needs to change. God, when you feel that in your life, you need to respond to it. Just don't ignore it. Now, in my case, ignoring it may have not been such a huge deal, but you know there are some check engine lights or even low oil lights that if you ignore, it can cause catastrophic engine failure. The same thing is true spiritually. If you keep on saying, well, Lord, I'm going to get to that soon. Lord, I'm going to address that soon, and we keep on putting it off, pretty soon we're in a spiritual condition where some very, very tragic things can happen. We can make tragic moral failures or many things that just would damage us spiritually. So don't ignore when there's something not quite right. So let's talk about that real briefly. We're going to talk about several things. And, all three of those just pop right on up. Well, now you get a whole preview. So there's three things when you find that there's something not quite right about your prayer life that I think you can do in response. One is getting real. And what we're talking about is authenticity. It is very easy to just pray because it is something someone's going to ask you about or it seems spiritual. We can become very hypocritical regarding prayer in a hurry. You know, it's like, well, I, you know, pastor asked me, hey, how's your prayers been, life's been going, or someone else asked me, or even the passage we read, it says that the Pharisees love to make big showy prayers to people. And sometimes we can even do that. We pray in church and we can make it about just impressing people with our words that sound very worshipy, if that's a word, rather than saying, I want people to be impressed with the greatness of God through prayers, because that's what really prayer is about. We have to be careful about prayer just becoming an activity and not an act of worship. Well, I should probably pray today because, you know, I am a Christian. That is dangerous. Letting it become something you do just because that's what you're supposed to do without ever saying, God, my whole desire in prayer is to meet with you, to spend time in your presence, to not only converse with you, but to have real fellowship with you, to not just speak, but to listen. Are we really taking time to engage with God, or is prayer just something that we do, or is it the thing that we do? That prayer is so important to us, we can't stand if our hearts become cold in prayer. We want it to be on fire and knowing God. Now, yes, we need to have discipline. We discipline our hearts for delight. I mean, the whole purpose of prayer is to meet with God, and meeting with God is the source of our joy. The fact is when we meet with God, it's the overflow, it's that joy that is generated in that is the overflow from which we live our lives. The question is when you pray, are you just doing a routine, or are you really enjoying time with God? Are you just trying to get it out of the way so you can say it's done? So you can say, I feel like I've been a good Christian. Or are you doing it because your heart is on fire to know, is passionate to know God? I mean, the truth is the command to pray flows from the command to love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And here's the thing is, you can't deepen a love relationship with leftover time or snippets of time. Building relationship takes real time to listen and to commune and to fellowship and to spend time in the presence of God. Remember, it's not just a conversation. It is that, but it's also communion. It's fellowship. The whole purpose of prayer is to experience God. It's not just sharing your desires. It's sharing your day with God. It's just talking to Him. When I'm not praying, I should ask myself, what does this say about my relationship with God? Now, here's the thing is, when my relationship with God is going well, then I desire to pray. When I'm drifting from God, it's saying something. So the first thing we have to do is just get real. We have to be authentic with God. We don't come in to say flowery language or just to tick a box off on our to-do list. It is to meet with Him. But we also need to make sure we're getting right. And this goes back to something that I've already said in the series, and that's, if there's a problem with stagnation in my prayer life, I can't just let it slide. I have to develop that intimate relationship with God. The question is, are we spending quality time with God? Are we spending enough time to really build relationship? Is there one of those roadblocks of sin or surrender or selfishness that we're dealing with? Don't just let the light stay on and say, I'll take it to a mechanic when I get a chance. When you feel like your prayer life is starting to stagnate, that you're starting to get cold and formulaic, run to Jesus and say, Jesus, reignite my prayer life. Rescue me from me and reignite my prayer life. Here's the blessing, is Jesus isn't just rescuing you from hell in the future. He's rescuing you every day, including your prayer life. And that's why we need to get revved up about prayer. We need to get excited. Now, I want to give you a couple reasons why you should get excited about prayer. There's many. Remember what we said. Getting what I want is not the motivation to prayer. If it is, when you don't get what you want, what will you do? You'll stop praying. But when you say prayer is about me getting to know God and His will and getting His kingdom advanced and getting His will done, once we see it that way, listen, we get excited because we come into God's presence and say, okay, God, I'm not sure what you're going to do with my life today, but I know this, it's going to be exciting. It's going to make your kingdom advance. It's going to bring glory to you. It's going to declare to the nations your awesomeness, and that is exciting. And God, you're pleased to answer my prayers for your glory to be advanced. And so, God, I'm excited about what you're going to do in my life and through my life in the lives of others today. That's exciting. That's what drives us to come to Him in prayer every day. And yes, it is also to give us today our daily bread to meet those needs. It sure is. But there's so much more. So, let me give you a couple other reasons why you can be excited about prayer every morning. Remember, you're coming to a Father that really, really loves you. The song we sang, Precious in His Holy Sight, He delights in His children to know that my Father is eager to give me all the spiritual and physical resources I need in order to live my life for His glory. I mean, you know how hard it is to ask somebody who's stingy for something? You know what it's like. You know someone that's exceptionally stingy, and you want to just borrow something, and you're just like, oh, I hate asking that person because they make a huge deal about it. You know, say, hey, can I borrow a few dollars? I forgot my wallet for lunch money or whatever. And then it's like, oh, how much do you need? Well, you know, $5. But $5? I'm like, come on, man. This is already hard enough. Please don't make this worse for me. You know, I like going to people that are generous. They're like, oh, let me give you 10. Oh, just pay back anytime you can. And when you pay them back, you're so joyful because you realize they gave it out of their heart, and oftentimes they're like, oh, I didn't even expect you to give that back. I was happy to do that for you. I was happy to help buy you lunch. And that is such an amazing feeling. Listen, you're going to a God that's not there saying, what, you need something else? Didn't you just like ask for something yesterday? He isn't like that. He is so generous, and He's like, come on, ask me. And then we ask Him, He's like, oh man, I'd love to do that. He is delighting in giving good gifts to His children. What an amazing thing. So when you come, let me ask you, and maybe this is just me, but do you ever feel bad sometimes when you have to ask God over and over for stuff? I mean, if that's true for you, sometimes you're just like, I feel guilty. I feel like, yes, Lord, it's me again. And yet, listen, stop feeling guilty and start feeling glory, because God delights in it. When you come, He's not up there saying, here's my problem, child, always needing something. He's not like that. He is so excited when we come to Him because He's like, my child is getting it. He needs me, and He realizes how much He needs me. All that makes me so happy. And then to pour out His goodness and grace on you, because that exalts Jesus. The reason why we have all this grace is through Jesus Christ. So every time He pours out His goodness on us, it exalts His Son and the work that He did so that we can receive these good gifts. Oh, my friend, if we just realize how excited God was for us to ask so He can give, it would change our prayer life. But number two is you remember that you're asking in Jesus' name. Be an unashamed name dropper. You know what a name dropper is, right? Someone who drops the names of people that they know that are important so you'll be impressed. How many of you have heard my story about meeting Trent Green? Really, come on. I think everybody's heard that one, right? Okay. You know, it's like the only famous person I've ever met. And so it's like, I'm dropping his name, yes, maybe just to say it was kind of cool. I got to meet somebody famous, But listen, when it comes to your prayers, Jesus says to ask in my name. And so God wants us to be name droppers when it comes to Jesus Christ. We say, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus. God, I'm not asking you because I deserve it, but because Jesus Christ was pleased to give it to me. I say, you love your son, and you love to give good gifts in the name of your son. So God, please, in the name of Jesus. And that exalts our Savior, and it brings us joy, and it brings God joy. So pray. Every time you get to ask a request in Jesus' name, just know this, it makes your Father happy. Every time you ask in Jesus' name, it strengthens your faith and brings you joy in Jesus. So go ahead, be a name dropper, because John 14, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He invites us. But not only that, know this, that when it's difficult to pray, the Holy Spirit is there to help. In Romans chapter 8, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know how we should pray as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning and which cannot be uttered. That means even when your heart is so stunned that you don't even know what to say, the Spirit of God will translate our hearts to the Father with just the right words. Hey, have there ever been a time when you know you need something, but you're like, God, I don't even know what I need? There have been times where my heart is so overwhelmed, I'm like, God, I don't even know what to say. I don't know even what I need. My heart is broken. I don't know what would heal it, but I know this, you know. And so God, just please give me with what I give me whatever I need. And the thing is when we pray, God gave us the Holy Spirit to be that very presence of God in us, translating to the Father through the Son whatever it is that we might need. Listen, don't feel bad when you say, I'm not even sure what to pray here. Just say, God, I don't know, but I know you know what I need. So, Holy Spirit, tell the Father what my heart really needs. And you know what? That is so comforting to me. Because even, again, at the times when I could not even form words in my mind or my mouth, God knew exactly what I needed. And I just came to him with empty hands and a heart that desperately needed to be filled and says, Father, you know what I need, please. And that's all he needed to hear. And the amazing thing is, oftentimes what he gives me, I stop and I go, you know, Heavenly Father, I would not even thought to ask of that, but you knew exactly what it was that I needed. I don't care what pain you've been through. I don't care what circumstance you're facing, which seems too overwhelming. You say, I don't know what to pray. Now, listen, let me say this. As we get to know God through his word and through prayer, God will help us to begin to see more and more what we need. But listen, you're never going to be an expert at what you need, but the Holy Spirit is always an expert, and he always tells the Father exactly what you need. So when you come to him, know this, even if I don't even pray the right things, the Holy Spirit makes sure I get what I really, really need, and that excites our prayer life. So because of this, you can pray honestly. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to come up with fancy words and say, oh, you know, and sometimes when people pray, they start pulling out the these, the thous, and the arts, and you don't need to do that. Just talk to him like you're talking to the person next to you because he's present with you. Not that there isn't some beauty to some of that, I understand. But let's not make it about how it sounds to others. Let's make it about how our heart is before our Father. And it's just a needy sinner who's looking to a gracious Savior, amen? And that's exactly why we can pray honestly. No more vague, lifeless prayers. We can open our hearts and really cry out to God. We can talk to him heart to heart. We can tell him exactly what we're feeling. I used to be really scared of that. Then the more I looked at the Psalms, and I preached a series on the Lamentations, and how God has given us Lamentations even as a way to just get out of our heart. Say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm confused, and it looks like everything's falling apart, and I'm wondering where you are. The Psalms are filled with those. We're not accusing God of doing wrong. We're just simply saying, God, I need you. This is what I'm experiencing right now. And as we express it, the Holy Spirit begins to minister in that. Just remember this. never end without saying, but God, I trust in you, and I look to you. Because that's where Lamentations is meant to bring us. It's meant to bring us from, God, I'm confused and I don't know, all the way around to, God, you are my hope and my salvation. Let it bring you to God. But don't sit there and say, well, God doesn't care to hear all my problems. Yes, he does. Well, God's got bigger things to do. You know what? He cares about your problems, no matter how little they may seem or big they may seem. God cares about it. So we can pray honestly. We can pray about everything. Prayer is meant to be the conversation where your life and your God meet. Isn't that great? That's David Powelson said that. It's a conversation where real life meets a real God, and he does something real in your life. Paul Miller says that when you know that you can't do life on your own, then prayer just makes sense. So come to him about everything. And we can also pray boldly and persistently. He says, because I go to my Father in John 14, he says, you can ask in my name. He says to ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. James chapter 5 says the prayers of a righteous person has great power. Why does he say these things? Why can we be bold and why can we be persistent in prayer? Because we've got a Heavenly Father who's delighting to answer his children. So we're motivated to pray. And it means we can pray with others. The fact is God brings us into a relationship with the Father, Son, and the Spirit. There's already a group dynamic going on, and he brings us into that love relationship, and we become part of the Son and the Spirit and the Father's love relationship with each other. We become part of that love. God the Father loves us because of his Son. But not only that, he also brings us into a community of faith, which means this: praying with other people really makes sense. Because we're all in this together. And so I encourage you, pray with people in your church. Get together. Have a regular prayer partner. Get together. We on Wednesday night have prayer times. You can get together throughout the week. Pray with your spouse. Men, pray with your wife. Something comes up, stop and pray. Have dedicated times where you just get together and says, we're just going to pray for our children. We're going to pray for what God is doing in our lives. Pray together. Family, dads and moms, pray with your kids. When they come to you with a problem, when they come to you with an issue, pray with them. And I'm telling you, prayer ought to be part of the disciplinary process. Teach them how to ask God forgiveness. Teach them how they can respond to the Father. Pray with your kids. Pray with your church. You know, when Peter was kept in prison, it says constant prayers were offered to God for him by the church. They believe in prayer. And I think we have seen things, God do great things. On this Wednesday night prayer thing that we're doing, I've seen God do great things in my heart, in my life, in others' lives. Let's keep praying. So I want to then talk just about a couple situations in which prayer becomes real difficult and some practical ways we can respond. Here in 2 Corinthians 12, we have Paul is explaining how he had a prayer request for some kind of either person or physical difficulty to be removed. And he prayed and God said no. And this is how he responded. It says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure in the abundance of revelations." God did give him a great many revelations. A lot of the New Testament is written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And also he received dreams and other things that God revealed his will to Paul. It says, "But lest I should be exalted above measure," just because I didn't get too big for my britches, just because God used me in specific ways, "a thorn in the flesh was given to me." Now, when you think of a thorn in your flesh, what do you think of? What are you going to feel if you get a thorn in the flesh? Pain, that's right. This was a painful circumstance, a painful person. Some believed it was a very serious eye condition that he had that caused his eyes to constantly ooze pus and his vision to begin to deteriorate. And he thought, I can minister better if I didn't have this physical limitation. Some people believed it, in fact, was a person who was just constantly opposing him and making his life miserable. And so whatever it is, we don't know exactly. We see this is how he responded. He says, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me." So it's like Satan was just beating me up with this person or situation. "Lest I should be exalted above measure." Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He says, this isn't, God saying no to this request isn't making me weaker. It's making me stronger in the Lord. There are things that Paul learned from that painful experience that made him grow. And he says, I see now I needed that. I still need that. We have no indication that God ever answered that prayer request. He says three times. That means at some point, he just realized God said no, and that's the final answer. And he just stopped praying. He realized this is part of God's will for my life. But he says, but now I find joy in it. Now I find purpose in it because it does something in my life to help me to be more dependent upon him. So when you go through difficult times, say, hey, is this just God helping me get stronger in him? Becoming more needy, so I depend more. So let me talk about three quick situations. Number one is, what do you do when you're driving through Kansas? I do not like driving through Kansas. You've heard me say many times, you know, Kansas is like a purgatory, and you got to go through it in order to get to heaven, you know, which is Colorado. I'm just kidding. Kansas is a great state. But here's the thing is, it's a little bit boring. We all know this. It's not a great drive. Even the first part of Colorado is not great, but then you also see the mountains, and it's really amazing. Well, sometimes it feels kind of like you're driving through Kansas. You just don't know what God is doing. You're just looking around and say, God, I just don't really see you and what you're doing. I don't understand. Why is it like this? Well, Paul knows exactly what that's like. He said, God, I asked you three times, and you have, you know, imagine what it was like the first time. God, I really just need you to take care of this issue. I can serve you so much better. No answer. I mean, God did answer, but he didn't answer the way he thought. And then it's the second time, and then the third time, and then finally, Paul just said, you know what, I'm just going to embrace what God has called me, what God has brought into my life that seems like a permanent situation, well, until he takes me home. I'm going to embrace it and see the value of it, see the purpose behind it. That goes back to James chapter 1 and going through difficulty trials. So as we go through these things, we realize Paul needed that he needed to grow in grace more than he needed an answer to his prayer request. He learned not only to accept it, but to embrace it and appreciate the value of it. So the question is, what hard things is God putting in your life? What are you experiencing that feels a little bit like going through Kansas? It's just, you're wondering, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. Why won't you hear me? Why won't you answer me? Well, here's a couple things. God is just not working for you. He's working in you. And that's what Paul embraced. And that's, again, James 1, 2 through 8. We count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that it works maturity. It works perseverance, and perseverance produces maturity in Christ. That's why. And when we start to value growth more than comfort, then we can really embrace those hard things. Remember, the journey is not designed to help your self-esteem. The journey is there to cure your independency. And here's the thing is you may struggle and still say, well, God, and folks, I've been there where I'm just like, okay, I can handle this. God turns down the screws a little bit more. Okay, it's uncomfortable, but I can do this. I can handle this. I've got plans. I can do this, and I can do this. I can make this work. And then he keeps on doing it until finally you're like, God, okay, I think I need you to do something because I don't think I can do this. And still we're just not quite there. And then pretty soon, we get to the point where we say, God, I'm broken. I can do nothing. God, if you don't help me, I have no hope. And that's the place where God wants us to get. He wants us to get to the place where we're completely broken. And here's the thing is, we can suffer a little bit of discomfort, But we don't like brokenness, because that is a terrifying place to be, isn't it? When you're sitting there and you're saying, I have no options. There's nothing I can do. I am completely without any recourse. That is a scary place to be. But it's also the place where there's no place to look but up. And that's when your Father can show you how much He is willing to help you and how much you really need that help that He's willing to give. But not only that, remember, it's not just conversation, it's communion, it's fellowship. Remember, it's the destination and the ride that matter. You're getting to know God. And then thirdly, God sometimes answers in ways that are unexpected. The fact is Paul prayed for spiritual growth. He not only prayed it for other people, but he desperately longed to be more like Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Do you really mean that, Paul? Including willing to go through a very painful circumstance, which may have been years and years. Paul, what do you really want? Do you want an answer? You want the circumstance to stop, or do you want to be like Christ and live by faith in the Son of God? And Paul just decided, Lord, I want to live by faith more than I want this situation to go away. And that's what we have to get to. And again, I'm not saying it's easy. That's why we run to Jesus, because He rescues us from our desire for comfort. Just recently reading a book about suffering, and it's talking about how suffering and servanthood, serving others, is really what it means to be called as a disciple of Christ, because that's what He is. He was the suffering servant. So if we're going to be like Jesus, it means we have to be willing to suffer. And it means that we have to be willing to serve. And those do not come naturally for us. The fact is, we would rather be served than serve others. Or we're willing to serve to a point, but when it gets really hard to serve someone, then we say, I'm ready to sign out. It's time to punch the card and clock out because I'm done. And the same thing with suffering. We would rather have comfort than to suffer. But that is the call to follow Jesus. And here's the thing is, God answers our prayers. And sometimes we say, God, change this circumstance. And He says, but I thought you wanted to grow. This is exactly what I've designed for your growth. So I can't take away that circumstance like you're praying. I can't give you that thing that you desperately say you want, because I have other things that I'm doing in your life. So God will answer our prayers. He will give us what we need, but they don't always come the way we want. Listen, we have to get rid of our narrow definition of what an answer to prayer is. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying specifically, saying, Lord, you know, I have this need. There's a $1,000 bill I can't pay. God, please meet this need. But also keep in mind that God may provide that in ways that are unexpected. You know, I remember one time we were praying. I said, God, I just know you're going to answer this. God, I pray you miraculously give me this amount of money, and when you do, I'll know it's you. And I prayed and I prayed, and I was just expecting a miracle check to show up in my mail, or someone just to walk up and hand me an envelope, and it's the exact dollar amount. By the way, that has happened, amazingly. But I remember afterwards, like, God, I prayed and prayed. I just knew we were good, but you never did. And then also I just look back and say, wait a minute. Did I end up paying that bill? Yes. Did I have food? Yes. Did I have shelter? Yes. Wait a minute. When I looked at it on paper, there was no way I was going to be able to pay for it. But somehow, not in an immediate, a miraculous way, but God provided. And when I started looking at it, it's like, wait a minute. We didn't have to go to the doctor for months. You know, we didn't have to do this. You know, the car never broke down. All these things, and I realized all the things that we normally would lose money, God just didn't let things break down, and the kids didn't get sick. It's like, wait a minute. God, you did provide, and I just missed it. Don't get so fixated on it having to be answered a specific way. Instead, say, God, you know the best way to do it, to not only accomplish your purposes, but to grow my faith. So, God, just help me to see what you're doing, and just help me just to work in cooperation with what you want. And so, let's be careful about that. So, that's when you're driving through Kansas. But here's another situation. A situation when God takes us off-road. Off-roading can be a lot of fun. I used to have an enduro, motorcycle, street, and trail bike. And just so hopefully no one gets upset at this, but sometimes I would drive to church And then I would like go roaring around the property a few times before I parked it, went in and worked, because it was just fun. I mean, just tearing through the fields out there, you know, not all day, you know, just for a few minutes, just to get a little, you know, just get a little mud on my pants and get a little joy in my heart. And then I would come in and I would get work, and it was a lot of fun. So off-roading is fun, but you know what's not fun? Is when you run off the road and run to a ditch, and you're not on the road, and it's ba-boom, 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 and your tire goes flat, and, you know, the rear differential drops out the bottom. That is not fun, right? And so the fact is we kind of want off-road, the rough times, to be kind of manageable. But God doesn't work that way, because God uses those, when God takes us off-road and takes us to places we don't necessarily like, God is trying to shake you from your comfort zone. That's what he's trying to do. Again, he's trying to break. Listen, he can't create dependency until he first gets you to be dependent upon him. Or we can't become dependent upon him until we realize we can't depend on ourselves. And so that kind of just shakes us. Paul Miller wrote, in his book on prayer, anxiety is a result of us being our own gods. We long to fix our own problems. We long to meet our own needs. The problem is we have neither the wisdom, the sovereignty, or the moral perfection to accomplish it. Anxiety is like a severed power line flying around, destroying everything it touches. And the fact is God will reveal our anxiety. The fact is he starts by showing us where we need to change before he starts changing it oftentimes. So what I find is this: God will hit that button that he knows I got a serious problem with. He'll say, hey, Jeremy, I know you're really worried about this, so let's go right there. And God has a way of just pushing your buttons. So you're like, God, I feel really uncomfortable right now. I don't like where this is going. God, I don't want this anymore. And he's like, that's exactly why we have to go there. Because that's the very area that you need to work in. The fact is sometimes we just need more poverty of spirit. We just have to realize how much we really can't. And it keeps us from feeling like we've got it all figured out. Because I tell you what, oftentimes when things are going well, I think, man, I think I do have this thing figured out. You know, I feel like I'm a good Christian. And then God will bring something into my life, God will bring something in your life, and you're like, whoa, I'm not nearly as mature as I thought. I don't know as much as I thought. I'm not as strong as I thought. You know what's really interesting about Peter? Is in the Gospels, he's like, I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to suffer. And he's all like, you know, and someone's going to betray me. He's like, Lord, I will never betray you. He confidently asserts how spiritually mature and strong he is. But you know what we find in the book of Acts and in the first and second Peter, when he matures a little bit more, is instead of making these grand declarations about how powerful he is, he prays. Instead of saying, I know I'll be able to stand, he's like, I'm going to pray, because if I want to stand, it's going to have to be the power of the Holy Spirit. See, that's what real maturity is. Real maturity is when you realize how dependent you are, not when you feel like you're strongest, that you're strong enough. And the rough roads knock off the rough spots in our life. Rough roads are like sandpaper. They just start dealing with those rough spots in our life. We start realizing when I am weak, then I am truly strong. And rough roads also help us to experience God's sustaining grace and power. There's some things about God you only get to know through going through very difficult circumstances. Well, let's talk about the third and last experiences when you don't know where God is going. I call it driving in the dark. You know, one of the most scary things is when, I remember on my Enduro, my light gave out one time when I was driving in the dark. You know how scary that is? Driving on a small motorcycle on a road with no light and it's dark. Now, it wasn't pitch black, but it was uncomfortably dark for me. And I realized I have no idea where this is going. Well, sometimes we kind of feel like that in our prayer life. Well, let me give you just a few things that will help us when that happens. is, first of all, focus on the driver, not the passenger. Now, here's the problem is when we go through difficulty, oftentimes we start focusing in on how I feel at the moment. Now, listen, God made you with feelings. Feelings are not evil, but they can lead you in the wrong direction, and they can become evil. We can begin to start thinking and feeling things that aren't true or aren't good, okay? So whenever we go through those rough circumstances, there's a tendency to want to start thinking about, well, this is my experience, and this is my hardship, and what about me, God? And we start get really focused. Or we start, sometimes I do, is start overthinking everything. Well, if this is happening, then I must be displeasing God someplace. And sometimes he does reveal weak areas that need to change. But I start thinking, I got to do something to make God happy, which is not what we do. Jesus already made God happy. I'm not working to make God happy. God is happy because I'm in Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm drifting from him in disobedience, he's going to bring me back. I get that. But what we have to realize is that instead of becoming self-focused, we immediately have to force ourselves to look to God, because that's where hope is. If you look at yourself and my hurt, my pain, my suffering, my circumstances, it will look overwhelming to you because all you can see is this big issue, this big problem, this hurt. But when we look up and look beyond it, that's when we can begin to actually see things the way they really are. That there is a sovereign God who loves you and is working, that you should have great hope, that you can have peace even though things seem like they're chaotic. We have to look to God. But number two is we have to focus on the light and not the darkness. Because here's the thing is, Satan can feed you some terrible, terrible lies when you're going through difficulty. I mean, I have had those thoughts come up and says, God says he loves you, but Jeremy, if he loved you, would he let this happen in your life? And all of a sudden, you'll start listening to the whispers of Satan, or even listening to the whispers of the world, or why do you serve a God who can't do any more for you than that? He's abandoned you. He's left you. Why would you? I mean, think about Job's wife. Job, just curse God and die. Get it over with. Listen, people and Satan will whisper lies into our ears, and that is why we have to run to the gospel, and we have to start repeating what we know is true. You know how you dispel darkness? You fill it with light. And you start filling your heart full of truth and says, what is it that I know? I remember there's one time that I was just overwhelmed. I was at the end of my rope, and I said, God, I just can't do it anymore. And I said, God, I just feel like you hate me. Now, that wasn't true. I just broke down, and I said, God, please help me. And then all of a sudden, something began to come to my mind. God is good. The situation might be bad, but God is good. And I started repeating it. God, I know you're good. You're good. I know you're good. This situation looks really bad, and I've made some bad choices. I've been bad in this, but God, you are good. And I just kept on repeating it. I felt my heart filling with light that this is the truth. And he started giving me hope. And you know what? It didn't all go away the next day. But step by step, I kept on walking toward the truth and filling my heart with truth. And God pulled me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. Thirdly, focus on faith, not fear or feelings. And that's very important. Your feelings can lead you astray. It's not wrong to feel things. The Psalms are filled with people feeling things, but they're not the measure of truth. Truth is the measure of truth. And so, start with your faith. What does God say? And then let that direct your feelings. If you start with your feelings, it's going to get your faith way off course. But if you start with your faith, then your feelings will come along. You say, this, and this was amazing. In that situation I was just talking about, I was so full of just anger and bitterness and just like, God, I just feel so forsaken. But when I started repeating truth, all of a sudden my heart started, it's like it saw something it could hold on to, and I just held on. It was like a rope, and God just started taking, if I grabbed a hold of the rope, he would just pull me up. And eventually, God brought me out of that darkness. But it was all because I said, I don't feel like God loves me, but God promised he does through Jesus, and I have to hang on to that truth. So focus on that. So let me bring it to a close. So, and looking at the last two messages, plan and prepare and protect your prayer time. Remember that God is working in you and for you. He's not just doing things for you. He's trying to shape you into the image of Christ, which means he might answer your prayers differently than you expect. Discipline your delight. It's spontaneity is great, but it's kind of like an irrigation ditch. What is a ditch what makes crops grow? No, water is. But how do you get the water to the crops? Irrigation ditches. And so when we plan and prepare time and discipline it, it's like building a trench through which God can pour his life-giving power into. It's not the power itself, but it does make way so that God can bring the life-giving water. So discipline your time so that God can meet with you. And then lastly, look to Jesus to rescue your prayer life. Because it is in his name that God gives you what you need, spiritually and physically. And when you drift, it's him that draws you back. And it's spending time with Christ that causes you to build that relationship with the Father. Jesus just doesn't rescue you from hell. He rescues you every day, including your prayer life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these truths. And God, although there's things that we already know, God, they're things that our soul desperately needed to hear time and time again. God, I stand here with such great joy that my prayer life does not depend on my goodness, but on Jesus' rescuing and redemptive power. That God, because of his work, you delight for me to bring requests to you, and that it exalts my Savior when you answer. And God, our prayer is that through the Holy Spirit, God, you would just give us a deeper passion to spend time with you. Not just so we'll see answers to prayer, but that we'll get to know you. And that as you answer prayers, your kingdom would be advanced, your will would be done, and your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here at Faith Baptist Church. We are going to have just a brief meeting here in just a few minutes. We're going to take a real quick break. If you have kids in the children's church or in the nursery or toddler room, go ahead and get those. Children, get those. Get those things. Get those creatures and bring them in. No. Bring your children in, and so the workers can be in as well, okay? So we're dismissed. Hey, Greg, would you mind going back and grabbing Brother Bruce and make sure he knows so he can come in? And I'll answer some questions, and then we'll take a vote on just the next step.